Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
This is a sham. This is a fraud perpetrated on the people of the city. By the five of you that voted to end this lawsuit. This is absolutely absurd what you cost the city taxpayers. And now, the rest of you are going to join in, except looks like Mr. Powell. I hope at least one of you has the backbone to not support this. Why does she get a pass? The judge has already ruled these documents, of which she has turned in. These are not all the documents that are owed to the city, to the people.
In our last episode, from the completely normal and uncontroversial Milton City Council Melodrama Theater, the short version of all this is we have been involved in a long litigation where the city of Milton wound up having to sue the mayor of Milton because she would not produce her public records related to the debacle surrounding Scott Collins and who did what, said what, emailed what. Alex Andrade, the former city attorney, tried many times to get her to produce the records. She would not. Eventually, the city council filed to sue her. They did. They were winning. The judge had reviewed a bunch of records and said, these ones are absolutely public records. These ones I'm not too sure about, a small subsection. The new city council got elected. New city council told the lawyers, no, we're going to drop this lawsuit. That was Alex Andrade and his law firm. And they said, we can't drop a lawsuit in which we're right, we're winning, and we're requiring a legal duty of the mayor to produce her public records. That would be unethical for us. We want off the case. They subsequently separated from that law firm, tried to hire a new law firm, which they did, asked him to review. He said, I will. He comes back and says, okay, the mayor has agreed to release these records. We already have them, about 3,000 documents, which is more like, I don't know, tens of thousands of text records. There are 300 she disagrees with that the judge has said two times she has to produce. She has not produced, will not produce. I recommend maybe we drop the lawsuit. Nobody's going to seek legal fees, even though we were likely to win them. And that's going to be the end of it if the judge agrees. And nobody's ever going to see these other 300 or so documents. Oh, unless somebody else sues the city, which any individual could. Howard Steele, who was speaking there, might. Andrew McKay could. Somebody from downstate who does make a living by suing cities for their refusal to produce public records could, and cost the city another tens of thousands of dollars, which they could have got from the mayor had they continued with the lawsuit and gotten what they were entitled to. Which, by the way, at this point, you do have to kind of ask, and I've asked a couple times, what is in these records? If the mayor is willing to spend tens of thousands of dollars on legal counsel to prevent the city from seeing these public records, good Lord, what must be in them? Because the ones that have been produced are very boring. I have read them. Back to Howard Steele. Now you're caught up. Back to Howard Steele. The city council has voted to drop the lawsuit, pursue no legal fees, just call today.
But now she gets a pass, continues to get a pass. Why? Why did you vote to give her a pass to begin with, Mr. Cusack? You seem to be ethically challenged yourself and had issues turning in your public records.
Mr. Steele.
No, ma'am. You will
remember,
not.
Mike Cusack is the guy that changed phones and didn't preserve the text records, deleted emails, and was involved in sending texts and emails from private stuff saying he and didn't even know that was a public record, even though he signed an affidavit that he understood the public records law. And he got an ethics charge in connection with some of this stuff. Okay, just making sure everybody's up to speed.
Interrupt me, sir. You will not interrupt me. You will not interrupt me. I am speaking to this council. I am redressing my grievances against this government, and I suggest you not interrupt me again.
You may, but I counsel you to understand that these members do not have to answer your questions.
They don't have to answer me. That's right. They can sheepishly sit there with no backbones. That's exactly right. But how dare they? How dare they? They give you another pass within themselves, cannot follow the law. Ms. Farrow cannot follow the law and seems to have a problem with her not providing her public records, which I am still will be following up with that, Ms. Farrow.
Okay, so Howard Steele is angry, and I mean, Howard Steele's in the right. Howard Steele's saying what I'm saying, okay? Is how dare you, and what's in these records, and why won't you produce them, and why are you giving her a pass, and why do you keep interrupting me when I'm trying to talk in the public forum?
Now you're giving her another pass. Why are you giving her a pass? I would like to know. I'd like your justification. Mr. Powers, are you going to have an answer to justify if you give her a pass on these documents and give her a pass on her attorney's fees and the cost of the city? How much did she get a pass on attorney's fees and cost to the city previously on the last go-around that y'all gave her a pass on? Over $70,000 you cost. How can you sit there? How can you sit there and act as mayor and have cost the citizens what you have cost them? Over a year you refused the public records. And now here we are, and you still have not furnished all the public records.
Yeah, it is a little weird. I will say not necessarily an ethical violation, but it's a little weird for her to be presiding over the meeting in which the question is, should we drop the lawsuit against the mayor who's presiding over the meeting? Right, that's a little weird. But she's asked a couple times in the past whether she does or does not have to leave. It's whiffs weird, but it's not exactly wrong. Now, if she had to vote, she can't vote because she's the tie-breaking vote. If she had to vote, she definitely could not vote on something like that. Anyway, back to Howard Steele, who continues to be frustrated about all this.
And this is not over with.
Oh, sorry, John. Go ahead. I missed your gesture. John's got traffic on the fives. We'll be back with this in a second.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. Not even any delays. Traffic is rolling smoothly this morning. I'm John Biggins with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, by the way, the Milton City Council is having a meeting tonight. If you're interested in showing up and wondering what your city is doing on or not on your behalf.
Sorry.
That's show up, you know. You get a preview of next week's episode, you know.
And this is not over with. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not over with today, no matter what you do. You think you're going to be able to sweep this under the rug? You will not. The citizens have rights. And if you won't uphold those rights, the citizens will damn sure make sure that we take care of it ourselves.
By the way, if the city and the city did vote to drop the lawsuit and not get any legal fees and not charge the mayor anything and stipulate that her objection to the remaining documents that apparently are terrifying for her to have come out in public, because otherwise why would you pay so much money and go through all this long legal battle to prevent them from coming out? Anyway, the city does drop all of this. Just because the city drops it doesn't mean that you or I or somebody else can't sue them and win the case. You would win the case because the judge has already ruled their public records. Anyway, there's more. Pam Mitchell, who is the leader of the Pitchfork Posse, one of the key founders in the Save Our Blackwater, Concerned Citizens of Milton, Stopping the Wastewater Treatment Plant, a key ally of Mayor Heather Lindsay. Okay, she gets up to the podium and has a different take, as often is the case.
And my only objection to this moving forward, as Mr. Adams has suggested, and I know his suggestion is just to carry out the will of the council, is that we've done our mayor wrong the last few years, the last year, over a year. And now she's not going to have the ability for restoration and to be made whole. And I know the heart of our mayor, and I know that she would never want to sue our city, but I would hope there would be some action that she might could take to make her whole in the future. But tonight, at least this council can give her a little peace of mind.
So she's saying that the mayor was the one wronged, that the mayor has had to defend herself against this lawsuit, the purpose of which was to get the mayor to produce her public records, the records which the judge agreed were public records, that she didn't want to produce as the reason we're in this lawsuit, and now the mayor's in the one that's been wronged and needs to be made whole, like needs to be compensated. Again, just to make it super clear, if she had just produced her records, none of this would have happened. Alex Andrade several times tried to persuade her. I mean, I can read you one of the emails in which he tries to persuade her before filing the lawsuit. Hey, please just turn over the records and all of this goes away. And she won't. And the judge agreed they were public records. It's just, this is amazing. So you have another person, another semi-founding member of the Pitchfork Posse, Lauren Cooper. She goes by Lauren Odgers now. She says,
I do also think that our mayor should be made whole. This was all brought on by a vindictive attorney. of course, some vindictive other people.
Now, I will say this. There are people who believe that. There are people who believe that Alex Andrade was in the wrong, that Jess Snow was in the wrong, that, you know, the other former members of the council were in the wrong. She's not the only one who sees it that way. It's definitely not the way I see it, okay? But I do want to make you aware of that in case you think that, you know, Andrew McKay's opinion is the only opinion. It's not the only opinion out there. I just can't make sense of their opinion. Unless, because we know the mayor often did text exchange and calls and strategies with some of these people too, unless the reason for keeping these records quiet is because it implicates them somehow. Again, I don't know. We're left to speculate because we don't have the actual records.
She has had to put out a ton of money to fight lies, and it's been her neck on the line. She's got children that are in college. She's a single mom, and I think she should be made whole. And I think that maybe our city attorney can figure out a way that she can actually be made whole.
So now we're talking about, I mean, it's not going to happen because they dropped the lawsuit. They dropped the, you know, they're not going to get the rest of the public records. The ones they did get are boring. I've read them, which, again, begs the question, well, what's in the non-boring ones? And then, you know, they're all, it's with prejudice. They're not going to file a lawsuit again. Nobody gets legal fees on either side. So, but now they're talking, I mean, again, these two citizens are talking about, well, can we not pay her for her troubles? when the whole reason anybody had to spend all this money was because she wouldn't produce these records. It's just amazing from this. Warren Smith, I don't know him well. I can't comment on who he is, but he's clearly, you know, on their side anyway.
The comment keeps being made by Mr. Steele and several other people about the cost to the taxpayers. Yes, there has been, and it's sizable. Who is the only person that has profited from that? The attorney that brought the lawsuit. He has cost that lady major, major points in her life. And I just want to tell all of y'all, thank you. But the truth needs to come out. Alex Andrade is the only person who has profited, and he's profited big time.
Of course, worth noting, one person clapping. What's the sound of one citizen clapping? Of course, worth noting. I mean, there's a truth in that. I mean, just as a factual matter, he's you know, his law firm has gotten money in the pursuit of this. But many, many, many times he tried to avoid the lawsuit. She kept refusing. The reason we had to go into the lawsuit is because the city thought it was entitled to the public records, which it is, which the judge agreed about, which they were winning. And then, of course, the Mayor Heather Lindsay's law firm, whoever she retained as their side, they also profited too because she paid them a bunch of money. So it's not just Alex. It's both sides of the lawyers. Anyway, so they did vote to go ahead and drop it with prejudice, which means that they can't file it again. If the judge agrees, then the remainder of the public records will remain unknown to us unless somebody files a lawsuit, which they could. I mean, all of the legal work has already been done. You file a lawsuit against the city and the mayor, and they will lose, and then they will have to pay, and then it'll be more cost, all because there are public records that have not been produced. I mean, you know, like, that's where all of this is. Now, there will be a third act, so to speak, coming up a little bit later on today in the 7 o'clock hour. But for now, just rest assured. John, do you remember the time when we were promised that everything in Milton would go smoothly and clear up and there would be an end of this episode, at the end of this series, it would never happen again?
That's what I was promised.
Not going to happen. Oh, my goodness. Again, there is a city council meeting tonight. If you are a citizen in Milton and you have thoughts, feel free to go to the Milton City Council meeting tonight. 624 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying a home or moving out of a city. I want to say this because it's important. Milton is a great place to live. Milton really is a great place to live. And the workers, you know, like the staff in Milton are fantastic. It's just that the politics and a few citizens are, a giant, hot, steaming mess. The city is great. It's a great place to live, and the staff really do work. In fact, one of the things I hear sometimes is from the staff is, thank God that you tell this stuff, because it's crazy what we deal with. You know, well, you know, I, you know, that's what I'm here for. Okay, if you're thinking about buying a home, a rental, a second home, a vacation, a, you know, a Airbnb, or just selling and buying and moving, whatever, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are just fantastic. They are. They sold 175 homes in 2023, 165 homes in 2024. It was over 200 a year when the market was really easy. It's a little bit more challenging now, but they're still consistently three a week. Week after week. One of the things she recommends is just give her a call to ask questions before you make a decision. Like when you're not sure yet what to do and you just want to get information. We're thinking about moving to the beach. We're thinking about buying a long-term rental. We're thinking about just relocating. Can you help us? She will. And she loves to answer these questions. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Oh, that's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Seeing just one minor delay if you're on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. It's about a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay there. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Biggins with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash,
specifically bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Cops, Cars, and Crawfish is back on Saturday, April 12th. It's a car show and a crawfish boil to benefit the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation. The gates at Five Flags Speedway open to the public at 10 a.m., and you can bring your family out to wander around and see some incredible cars. There's trophies, door prizes, a 50-50 raffle, a free movie on the big screen, the People's Choice Awards, and, of course, crawfish. The Cat Crew's going to be there. We'll be bringing the fun and games. We'll look forward to seeing you at Cops, Cars, and Crawfish 2025. Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, get pumped up for some high-energy fun from classic rock cover band Class X at the Gulfside Pavilion. Class X features two powerful lead vocalists and a vast array of material from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. It's at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Bring the family for Cinemas in the Sand, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, Friday night at the Gulfside Pavilion. The Fred Levin Fest is Sunday from 11 till 3, downtown at Palafox and Government. The free event features food, games, music, and most importantly, 60-plus nonprofit organizations will be distributing food and info for families in need. See fredlevinfest.org. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, heads. They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Morning, 628 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, just one follow-up. John, you were even saying it when we were talking about this, because you live in Milton.
I do.
And they keep calling Alex Andrade the bully.
But he's not, because the city council voted to have him do the work, even though he begged Mayor Lindsay
to produce the record.
So right, we don't have to go through this and waste the tax dollars.
Yeah, I mean, the city council did vote. The previous city council did
so
vote
you
to make
can't
the
blame
he's doing
him
what
as
the
a
city
bully.
Council. But yeah, no. I'm with you. But when you live in the upside down, you know, crazy land of, you know, through the rabbit hole or whatever, you know, like anything becomes possible, including that the mayor is the victim. That's amazing. She should be made whole. Oh, there's a whole nother segment. Trust me. Coming up next episode. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. It's the sixth day of jury selection. In the second Massachusetts trial of Karen Reed, 10 jurors have been seated for the retrial. She's accused of killing her boyfriend that was a Boston police officer, John O'Keefe, by hitting him with her SUV in 2022. 16 jurors are needed before that trial can begin. Stephen A. Smith could potentially be running for president in 2028. The TV sports personality says he's leaving all doors open in regards to a presidential bid. He said in a post on his X profile that life is great and he hates the thought of being a politician, but he's, quote, sick of this mess. And here's something. A Texas-based firm says they use DNA from a 13,000-year-old tooth to bring back an extinct breed of wolf, the dire wolf. Ben Lamb with Colossal Biosciences says this has the potential to change the world. The dire wolf was made famous in Game of Thrones.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what it made me think of, is that winter is coming. And now the wolf is coming. Okay.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. China says it'll fight to the end a trade war with the U.S. as President Trump threatens another 50% tariff on Chinese products over new taxes on American imports.
You add that to the reciprocal tariff announced last week, 34%. Add that to the tariff over fentanyl trafficking that was announced in February, that's 20%. You get to 104% tariff on Chinese goods.
Fox's Peter Ducey. The Supreme Court for now allows the Trump administration to use the Alien Enemies Act to deport accused gang members with limitations.
They're not addressing the constitutionality of using the wartime authority. Instead, they say the plaintiffs must bring their lawsuit to a Texas federal court where the detentions took place and not in a D.C. federal court. The Supreme Court also ruled that the detainees must be given an opportunity to challenge their removals.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Florida wins the men's college basketball title with a 65-63 comeback win over Houston. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 46 degrees in Pensacola. The Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners has now taken the next step in implementing tolls on the Navarre Beach Bridge. They approved $365,000 for a toll study and an engineering design yesterday.
I just have to say, one of my primary reasons for approval of this would be to fund repairs, because it's not going to buy a new bridge. It'd take 100 years for that to buy a new bridge.
Commissioner Kerry Smith, and those tolls will be used to maintain the current bridge and put money back for grant matching opportunities to build a new one. Replacement costs for the bridge have been estimated at up to $300 million. The county hired Jacobs Engineering, will design a toll-by-plate system and figure out how much the tolls should be. And, of course, we'll get more on that here later this hour when Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator, is on with Andrew here in just a little bit. Organizers for Baldwin County Strawberry Festival are warning of online scams targeting potential vendors.
Scammers have been commenting on social media, offering vending spaces for sale and requesting direct messages for payment details. But festival officials took to Facebook, warning people not to pay anyone claiming that there are additional spaces, as they are full and have a formal vendor approval process. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin, for that update. Well, there's something new coming to Pensacola Beach. It'll be in the old Felix's Restaurant and Oyster Bar location. The Santa Rosa Island Authority has approved Pensacola Beach Holdings to sublease to a new tenant, Bounce Beach Pensacola. That business will be managed by a hospitality company out of New York. Saturday, April 12th, the women's soccer teams from Florida, Mississippi State, LSU will be competing in the Western Gate Soccer Showdown at Ashton-Brosnahan Athletic Park. That event began in Pensacola last year. It features 45-minute matches and autograph sessions. Admission to that is free. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing that Florida has achieved a historic tourism milestone. They captured 15.5% of the domestic vacation market for 2024. That's up from 2023, and it marks the sixth time Florida has set a new tourism record under Governor DeSantis's leadership. Pilot program for the Century Correctional Institution helps inmates secure jobs when they get released. Last week, the Florida Department of Corrections held an employment showcase at CCI to connect employers with the program. In this program, inmates build homes that are then put up for sale. The inmates get certifications in HVAC, plumbing, carpentry, and that according to FTC Region 1 Coordinator Alicia Warren. Well, 3 months now since they opened, and the parking area and walking path at Paper Park and Cantonment have been expanded. The official ribbon cutting happened back in January. The walking path has now been extended to 1.25 miles. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Just seeing some delays on 98 eastbound just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. But other than that, I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now it is a little bit cooler this morning. We've got 46 degrees around the area. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors assess President Trump's tariff policy and threats of even higher levies against China. The yield on the 10-year Treasury was flat at 4.162%. The 2-year Treasury yield ticked marginally higher to 3.744%. Business leaders are sounding the alarm over a potential economic fallout from President Trump's tariffs. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink said, quote, "Most CEOs I talk to would say we are probably in a recession right now." Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has announced at the White House that Israel will erase its trade deficit with the U.S. In response, President Trump gave no indication that the U.S. is willing to back off the increased duties. Futures are sharply higher as markets recover from Trump's tariff sell-off. On Monday, the Dow lost 349, the NASDAQ up 15, the S&P 500 down 11. Once again, futures are sharply higher. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Looking for an affordable path to home ownership? Pensacola Habitat for Humanity is here to help. Their home buyer program offers modern, beautiful, and energy efficient homes with top tier appliances and a variety of floor plan options. Get the perfect home for you. With lots in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, you can choose where you want to live. Get started today. They're making home ownership possible for teachers, first responders, service industry workers, healthcare, and more. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and take the first step toward owning your own home.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
question for you. Mm-hmm. Do you think the county wants to take over all of wastewater treatment for Milton?
I think they're interested.
I wonder why they didn't tell us that back in 2018 when we were working so hard to get their support for the 8 million gallon a day treatment plant, the Silver Bullet Project.
Another question is, why did they withdraw from being a partnership with us to help us get it in back in 2018?
Well, it sounds like that could be just this request to use this infrastructure could be one step in a larger plan to essentially take over wastewater management for or wastewater treatment for all the customers that Milton has at this time. Well, that's just my thought.
They have commissioned a study to study the future of wastewater sewer from the Blackwater River east to the Okaloosa County line.
Now, this is going back to the meeting of the 20th at the Milton work session for City Council. That was Heather Lindsay, the mayor, talking with Joe Cook, the Public Works Director, trying to scratch our heads and figure out what's going on with the future of wastewater treatment in the county and in the city. And then, of course, the subsequent meeting at the zoning meeting, they went and asked for a conditional use permit for the site, what they have relocated from the Blackwater River to a different site. And the county basically said, let's put a pause on that for at least a month. Come back to us. Those were the clips I played for you yesterday where, for example, you had Kerry Smith, the county commissioner, and Colton Wright raising concerns about water contamination, but also raising concerns, I read it, as about whether Milton would ever actually do this and their capability or their competence to do this. So we have the administrator for Santa Rosa County on the line with us, as we do after the Monday meetings typically. Brad Baker is the county administrator for Santa Rosa County and joins us now. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew, and go Gator.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, that was a great game last night. I did not realize you were Florida grad, so congratulations. Congratulations. That was quite
a
game.
Great game.
It was a really good game. No doubt about it. Okay, so, you know, I know you don't make policy, but you certainly are aware of what's going on in the county. Heather Lindsay and Joe Cook seem to be alleging that the long-term plan is for the county to take over wastewater treatment to build a plant themselves, which either A, because of the incompetence of the city, or B, because there's a lot of money to be made in wastewater treatment. Is that the plan for the county?
The plan is to, as we approved yesterday, to start our process of building a plant in the East Milton area. And, of course, the main crux of that is we have economic growth coming that is dependent on capacity, which the city of Milton does not have. And we're also master planning East Milton, and we see that as a place where growth is going to continue to go to. And the desire is that we do not have a bunch of septic tanks in that Blackwater Yellow River Basin. So we are going to plan for capacity for that area to take over the city of Milton. There's been no discussion of that. We have tried to approach them about some assets along the 87 corridor where our plant will be because it makes sense. And, you know, we're looking to utilize some of the stuff that's already in the ground and free up capacity for them to expand, whether that's in the city or north or wherever that is. But, you know, we are looking into that East Milton area, but not to take over the city of Milton wastewater.
Okay, I may have said it inartfully. It's their current customers is one thing, but, of course, they are trying to build a 2468 expandable million gallons per day processing plant to not only switch over from the current plant, but also to expand to future capacity. That's what you guys have said temporarily you're not going to approve. You guys were also building I forget what the name of it, some pocket plant or something like that, on the industrial park off of 87, if I remember correctly, for a 500,000-gallon-a-day capacity. Are you now saying that you are looking at and taking steps toward building a larger treatment facility to handle all of the new growth and business in the East Milton, in addition to the small plant that you're building for the industrial park?
Well, that plant has the capacity to go up to 1 million gallons, and we're in discussions of what it would look like to go to 2 million at the same site. Obviously, that's a phased approach. We're going to 500,000 on the initial construction, and then the ability to ramp up for two more expansions up to 1 million. and then consider, you know, what else is needed in that East Belton area going forward.
Okay, so you definitely are in plans to provide wastewater treatment capacity to the growing East Milton area, not necessarily specifically to encroach back upon what Milton is already doing, but you're planning to solve for this problem sort of regardless of what they decide to do. Is that a more appropriate way to say it?
That's correct. That is correct, Andrew.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's, you know, I hadn't finished watching all of the meeting from yesterday, so I appreciate that. That's a big update. That also fits with the things that were said at the previous zoning meeting where you guys talked about the conditional use permit. Very interesting. We're talking to Brad Baker. He is Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic on the fives from John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to see about a 9 to 12 minute delay just due to congestion there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. One last question on the wastewater treatment. Am I right in believing that if Milton had approved the plant that they were going to build that has now been nixed by the new city council, that would have made this planning by you guys unnecessary because that plan would have been in the works. Is that also true?
Well, you know, this started a couple of years ago when the city of Milton started struggling with, were they going to build it? Were they going to be strapped for funding? So we knew that we had to have capacity really by the start of 2027. So we decided that instead of jeopardizing our economic growth in East Milton, and, you know, we have several that already committed, several that are in the due diligence process that will require capacity that the city did not have to give. And we were repeatedly told that. So, you know, we started our own planning and implementation. And so we're now ready to go into contract and get our plant started with the anticipation that early 2027 we have capacity not only for the economic growth but that 87 corridor as well. And you know, as they talked about in the city meeting, we did contract with Jacobs to do a study of that East Milton area and see what future capacity in line with our master planning of that would look like and need, so that, you know, we're ahead of the step. Which is not a bad thing.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, for all of the complaints the residents of Santa Rosa County have for failure to keep up with infrastructure after the fact, this is literally you're needing to build for infrastructure for the future. Somebody has to do it, and you guys are not waiting for it to become even more of a crisis than it kind of already is. So I appreciate that. I really didn't know we'd talk about this so long, but this is kind of all news to me. Price tag on the $500,000, the $1 million, the $2 million plant, do we know?
We know that the $500,000 is going to be around $30 million, give or take.
Okay.
We're in negotiations to do some value engineering now with Wharton Smith, who the board agreed to enter in a contract with yesterday. So we're anticipating roughly a $30 million for this phase. And then we will have to do a little bit of additional disposal capacity to go to the $750 and then the $1 million. And then we're in the very infant stages of figuring out, you know, what it would look like to expand it even further.
Got it. Okay. All right. Very good. That gives me a really good picture of what's going on. Thank you so much. I know the big news item from yesterday, as far as most citizens are concerned, is the prospect of taking some of the money that had been assigned to do the PD&E for the brand new Navarre Beach Bridge or Causeway, take that money and put it into a new toll system. The big question I think everybody has, I have also, is, if, and the board did vote to approve that funding yesterday, is my understanding, what is the toll going to be on that bridge, and do we have some guarantee that it escrows specifically for bridge replacement?
So the board did not vote on that. They did vote on the to move forward with the tolls, and that includes a study of what the rate should look like as well,
okay,
along with the design of the toll system. But there was no commitment that it would stay for the future bridge. I mean,
okay,
it's a complicated situation out there. I mean, we spent, I don't remember all the exact math, but roughly $8 million to stabilize the fenders, the approaches to the bridge, the seawall, et cetera, to extend the life of the bridge. I mean, the the bridge is not falling in. It's just functional at its capacity. So we can't put in no more lanes on it. We can't put any pedestrian walkways, et cetera. So, you know, where it is functionally is where it is. But that doesn't mean that it's going to fall down. And we're extending the life by these millions of dollars we just invested in the bridge. So I'm not going to – the board didn't commit it, and I've never been one to advocate that we don't use it for maintenance costs.
I got you.
Obviously, the toll is not going to pay for the new bridge. The cheapest estimate we've had on it from the feasibility study side of it is $150 million, and it ranges all the way up to $300 million.
Depending on where it, depending on where it lands, right, is the primary
where
thing.
Where it lands.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Right. Where it lands, the length of it, you know, do we go to five lanes, et cetera. A lot
right.
of variables in there. But, you know, we have well over $150 million of roadway projects that don't even include giving any money to expedite the 98 corridor widening, the Highway 90 widening. So there's a lot of challenges ahead, and a small toll on a bridge is not going to cover $150 million financing demand.
And a bridge which almost certainly, when built, which it has to be built, and that bridge when built will have a toll on it almost certainly, right?
I see no way that it would not.
Yeah, no, agreed. Just, I know they're part of the study is to figure out how much to have the toll at. Do you even have a range of expectation? Because I've heard a lot of different numbers. I assume it wouldn't be any lower than $2 for the now bridge. But do we have any sense of sort of an upper boundary on what the toll would be on the existing bridge?
You know, in talking with some of the board, I think if you get much higher than that, they're not going to be comfortable with it. So I would think somewhere in that range. And then some variables have been discussed. You know, what does the residents out there look like? Or
right.
what, you know, what is, you know, the leaseholders, et cetera. What's that going to look like? So that'll all be factored in.
Okay. Yeah. No, and I look forward to getting more information about that. I appreciate that. Last thing real quick is you guys also, I think, took action to strengthen the requirement that when people's if they're on a septic system, that if the septic system fails and sewer is available, they must connect to the sewer system. Is that right?
That's correct. And, you know, we've been seeking a lot of funding opportunities for septic to sewer conversion. And some of the state agencies had indicated, you know, we could strengthen our position on those grant funds if we had this ordinance in place. So
okay.
The board did entertain for us to schedule that public hearing to consider that ordinance.
Because ultimately the point of getting off septic is to protect groundwater and water runoff and, you know, sewage being in places where it should not be. So, you know, sewer is so much better than having septic, and this is something that the state is interested in. Of course, we care about environmental concerns and water quality all over the state. And basically anything to get us in that direction is good, right?
That's correct. That is correct. You know, there's a lot of septics along all of our waterways. You know, obviously we have a lot, whether that's the peninsula or the southern portion of Garson or the Ward Basin area.
Right.
So we have a lot of septics right beside our water body. So that would be the goal, that we would be able to get off of those.
It's terrible. It would be great if we could get off of that. Very good. Brad Baker, he's the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, as always, thank you for the time. Yesterday was a voting meeting, so there is no meeting coming up on this Thursday. That's why it's kind of a little bit different, you and I talking about actions the board actually took yesterday. But I appreciate, and I especially appreciate you clarifying what's going on with the wastewater treatment plant for the county. As always, it's often thankless work. The county does good stuff. I know many of your staff, and they do outstanding work. So thank you so much for overseeing a good administration. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Andrew, take care. Have a good day.
You bet. 654 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're considering that next vehicle and you're kind of not sure where to start that process, Frontier Motors is a great resource. They've got about 300 different cars, trucks, vans on the lot. You know, you got all these tariff concerns going on and what's happening to the price of new vehicles. How is that affecting the price of used vehicles? Is it yet? Will it? Is it some brands, other brands, not so much? Well, you know, I don't know. That's not my business. I mean, I'm concerned as a citizen, but they're concerned as a purveyor, right? They can help you. You know, tell you whether they really think you ought to buy soon because prices are going to go up, or whether you've got time to wait because it's not going to affect anything, or if it will be. All brands, some brands, newer, not newer, whatever. I mean, they can help you figure that out. And, of course, help you find the right car that fits you, fits your lifestyle, fits your budget, whatever the case may be. Good cars that you know will last a long time. They're going to warranty it to 100,000 miles or 10 years. And, of course, you know they're decent people that have been around for a long time, more than 25 years in this community. That's why Dave Ramsey recommends them, and I recommend them. Frontier Motors, serving Pensacola for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. See, just a minor delay on I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit in that construction zone, but I just wanted you to be aware of it. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Amanda Ann's Antiques announces their new location and grand opening this Saturday. Shop antiques, jewelry, treasures, and thousands of unique items. Amanda Ann's is loaded to the brim, and their all-new 14,000 square foot complex is the largest antique store in Escambia County. They have food vendors, giveaway drawings every hour, plus deals throughout. Amanda Ann's Antiques grand opening this Saturday from 10 until 5 at their new location, 470 South Highway 29 in Cantonment.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And three, be nice.
That's how connected we are. I mean, we all love each other. We love playing for each other. And we love being a Gator, man. Gator boys, stay hot.
Stay hot.
Now,
Walter, I know it wasn't the easiest game for you, but the feeling of being able to cut down the nets and hoist a national championship trophy.
Man, that's a feeling I can't even explain, man. I can't wait, though.
I love you, Mom.
I can't wait to see my mama, man. Mama, I love you, girl.
You guys go enjoy this one. Congratulations.
Hey, shout out to all the people at the O-Dome.
Pretty fun to watch. Look, you know, I'm an Auburn fan, so I'm not really pulling for the Gators, but against Houston I was. Because SEC, you know, as long as it's not Alabama. Anyway, 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Great comeback for the Gators. That was a fun game. There have been some pretty disappointing NCAA tournament, like semifinals and finals the last few years. These two games were fantastic. Really, really quite good. Oh, my goodness. John, you stay up and watch the whole thing?
I fell asleep in those.
How could you? No.
Well, I caught the highlights on SportsCenter this morning. Dude, I could make it, man.
You know me. I will bail and fast forward at the first sign of a blowout or it's boring. And when Houston got up 12, I started to fast forward. And then I saw the lead cut, and I'm like, oh, I've got to go back to watch this. Let's go. Watched almost all of that game last night. It was fantastic. All right, coming up next, installment number 3 of Days of R. Milton. Even more drama there always is. David Wayne is in the newsroom. What do you got coming up, David?
Well, the ground was broken yesterday for PSC's new aviation training facility, so we'll talk about that and a whole lot more.
News Radio 92.3, Gulf Breeze, Milton, and Pensacola.